Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons, interviews, and Pastor Pod on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. Welcome to Pastor Pod, our first in a series of podcasts when Pastor Russ and I, Pastor Jordan, get together to give our best answers to your questions about the Bible, theology, and life. Please enjoy. Welcome to another episode of Pastor Pod. Last time we talked about Russ's Beyond Tolerance and what does it mean? Is there any absolute truth? I wanted to follow up on something from that conversation about how I said that our main mission and vision should be to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But, and most of Christianity can say, great, sounds good. But when we get down to the practice of it, we all have different ideas how that can be done. For example, some Christians may think it's very loving to tell someone that being gay is not part of God's plan and that they are loving them by trying to save them from eternal damnation. Mm-hmm. And another part of Christianity would say that's not loving at all. That's actually very hurtful. So what does it mean to love someone, and what does it mean to love God? Is there an absolute for love, Russ? I'm gonna step back now.
Yeah, thanks. I was thinking about that as you were talking about that question. It's a great question, and how do you know what's the loving thing to do, and what's just enabling somebody? I think in your example, even the example, is it a loving thing to let an alcoholic keep drinking, or are you just enabling? Is it a loving thing to let somebody keep going in a direction when that's going to do harm? And that's usually the metaphor that's used around sexuality. And how do you know? And it seems to me that answer comes to where all answers come from, which is the North Star for that as well, is the life, death, and resurrection. To love God, and how do you know what that is? Love your neighbor, how do you know what that is? It's the best example is Christ. And to love God is to love the things that Christ loved, to be angry about the things Christ was angry about, to be joyous at the things that Christ was. And not inconsistently, those things typically had to do with the dignity of other people. And the humanity in giving people their humanity back, whether they were the women of the day, whether they were the Gentiles of the day, the Samaritans of the day, for crying out loud, the untouchables, the lepers, the people on the margins, the people who were just in the way, the no account, the widows. All of those were the people that Jesus gravitated to. So I think that's a key to how do I love God has to do with how am I caring for and giving dignity back. I don't see Jesus correcting too many people in their behavior, which the church has felt very free to do, except for the most religious people. Those are the people that Jesus took to task, and it seems to me they were taking, the real issue was they were taking their expression of faith and making people less important over their particular truth, their particular doctrine, their particular practice. And so, and Jesus seemed to really take people to task. So using that, then it seems to me that how I love God is to love the things that God loves, whether it has to do with, in Malachi, love justice, do mercy, walk humbly with God, or loving neighbor, caring for, emptying self out, the example of Christ. Emptying self out, getting rid of ego, getting rid of your own rights for the sake of others. It doesn't mean that you always know exactly what's right for the other person, but it means standing with that other person and caring for. If there is something that is dangerous and you believe so, and there is good evidence that it is, then the loving thing would be to help get in the way and to have that conversation or to be more active in that. But it also means giving people, if I'm loving somebody the way I want to be loved, that means that if somebody, and this is in my own example of people who are gay, and I'd like you to trust me on this one. I'd like you to trust me that I'm doing the best I can, that this is who I am, the best who I am, according to who God made me to be. And just as I would want somebody to give me the benefit of the doubt. There's going to be times where we disagree, perhaps, about what's the best thing. But I think then we always yield over to what would I want if I were in that same situation. And then we live by grace, and we're going to make mistakes, and we ask for forgiveness. That's part of the loving thing we do, too. I don't know. Did that answer? Does that catch what you're talking about?
Yeah. And I think one of the key terms you used was grace.
Yeah.
I feel like we have really forgotten about grace in certain parts of Christianity.
Mm.
That's become about you need to follow this doctrine.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But the whole gospel story, all of what Jesus did was all about grace, the people he talked to. And he didn't expect people. He didn't meet the person who was paralyzed at the well or at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And first say, first, you got to believe what I believe.
Right.
And then I'm going to heal you.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to mess with a lot of people's theology.
He extended grace and healed him. And even after it wasn't a discussion of you must believe this and this and this. But all he said was go and sin no more. Right. And that was that. So.
Yeah. 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 Get up and walk. And the woman caught in adultery was to go and sin no more.
Yes.
And that's all right. And, you know, or even the guy who was brought in on the pallet and he said, you know, your faith has healed you. It wasn't his faith. It was everybody else's faith. And that messes with your theology too. But you're right. You know, it's the person, it's the need. It's the one who is right in front of you and what is needing to be done, and grace and love, justice and mercy are the watchwords for how we treat people.
Wasn't the guy who's paralyzed at the pool, he picked up his mat and Jesus had told him, don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
He ran into the religious leaders, right?
You're going to make us look silly because I'm trying to remember what they, I thought it was pick up your mat. First question was, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
And then all the excuses why he couldn't be healed. And he just said, pick up your mat.
Correct.
I thought he sent him to the priest to show himself.
Yes.
And so it and wasn't, don't tell mad. Anybody. It was, go show yourselves to be healed. And then the conversations back and forth.
Yeah. Because then the priests were mad that he was healed on the Sabbath? Or am I getting two different ones?
I think you're
together?
Getting it different, oh, but gosh. You're making us... No. We're going to fail our Bible content exam right here live with everybody. So, thanks. I really appreciate that. So I don't think it was a Sabbath issue. I think it was more of, here's this person who was showing himself. And then they were questioning, who did this? And that conversation from there.
Yeah, so I think grace is a part of love.
Yeah. And let's go back to grace thing again, would you?
Yeah, and I think we are too hard on others because we're too hard on ourselves. And I think that's one of the parts of love your neighbor as yourself that I think we have such a hard time with is that we don't even know how to love ourselves well.
Yeah.
And so... how do we love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love ourselves, you know? And I think that's where the inner work of Christ comes in to help us heal and find who we really are in Christ. But we have to do that work.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean we can't love our neighbors as ourselves along the way or love well.
Right.
But I think to fully experience the kingdom now, I think that inner work has to be done.
Sure. It's a both and, don't you think? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree. And loving others also can teach you how to love yourself too. Because sometimes we do have more grace for others than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets into kind of therapy, psychology stuff.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's... talking about health, and so what are the different ways to get to health and wholeness, and so those are two aspects that are important.
And I think along the way, we just continue to try and figure out what's the best way to love. And that's what I enjoy about the Reformed tradition that we're a part of, is that we figure that stuff out together. Mm. It's not one person saying this is it.
Yeah.
And but it's groups, it's the denomination, it's letting the Spirit speak through all of us rather than just one voice.
That seems like you've raised another question. Maybe we should tackle that on another time. But I agree, there is something within the Reformed tradition about the mutual accountability. We are interconnected and mutually accountable to one another. So we don't have a hierarchy. We don't have people who are more holy than others, and we don't get to be lone rangers. We are accountable to each other, which, again, doesn't bring anything close to perfection. It just helps us correct ourselves in a different fashion, hopefully a little quicker.
All right. Let's talk about that next time.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. If you've enjoyed Voices of Hope, please rate and review us and share us with your friends. If you have questions for Pastor Pod, please email them to jordan@newhopeprez.org or send us a message on Facebook. New Hope Summer Sunday Worship is at 10 a.m. Please say hi if you join us, and we will see you next time.